The 2016 presidential race is now set. Okay, at least according to the respective party organizations. Voters on the Democratic side, yeah, not so much. While Hillary Clinton has placed a welcome mat in front of Bernie Sanders supporters, not all are exactly RSVPing. A recent poll dug deep into the mindset and mood of these voters, as well as on the GOP side. The results proved kind of interesting, showed that it's not just Donald Trump who has some connections and bridge building to do. Here to share his analysis of this poll, which was done by The Economist and YouGov as a senior contributor with Red Alert Politics, Ryan Gerdusky. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And it is redalertpolitics.com. If you're assuming the obvious, you're correct on that part. And as we've been hearing, and certainly if you look at, I was like looking at the comments section of articles I see, because you really get a sense of at least the more proactive voter, and certainly the Bernie Sanders supporters, much like there was a Never Trump hashtag, it looks like the Never Hillary hashtag is still alive and well.
Yeah, you know, with Elizabeth Warren's endorsement yesterday, there was the amount of vitriol and hate towards Elizabeth Warren that she had sold out to Hillary Clinton, to Wall Street, and to the establishment Democratic Party was pretty shocking. I think that there is a certain contingency of Bernie supporters who will absolutely never vote for Hillary. And if you look at the YouGov poll, the last YouGov poll, only 9% of Bernie supporters have a favorable opinion of Hillary. That's versus 27% who have a favorable opinion of Trump. So Trump has three times the higher favorability rating among Bernie supporters than Hillary does. It's a pretty bad place to be if you talk about party unity. And that's why I think she was so quick to rush out President Obama's endorsement and Elizabeth Warren's endorsement. But I don't know how effective it will be. The difference between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in 2012 was 5 million votes. Bernie Sanders has 11 million voters. So all they need to do is either A, not show up, a portion of them should show up for Trump, or the rest of them could throw a third party, and Hillary's got a real problem on her hands.
Well, maybe a problem to be. I mean, this is me thinking up the grassy knoll of conspiracy, granted, but normally when we go through the primary system, other than the winner, and sometimes even the winner, is sitting on a huge campaign debt, and Bernie's not. He's got a good chunk of change still in the bank. Who's to say that he can't look at that change, the money in the bank he still has, look at this polls like this and the crowds that he can still gather and the support he still gets, and two words spring to mind, third party.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult to do that at this point in the game. A lot of states' deadlines have passed. If you're not part of the establishment party, Jill Stein had offered him the Green Party the other day. She said, take the Green Party and run with it. But I would find it very, very hard to do for himself at this point. A lot of state deadlines have passed, Texas, North Carolina. It would be extremely difficult in a lot of other states to get on the ballot. So I don't think that's an option anymore, but certainly, if he doesn't get his way on a lot of key issues, or Hillary has a VP like Tim Kaine or Castro from Texas, who's basically an establishment Democrat who has absolutely no integrity with a progressive movement, I could absolutely see him bashing her. And the more important thing that people have to understand is that leaders who are dynamic, who are exciting, don't really have control over their followers at a certain point. If you remember back in 1992, Pat Buchanan challenged the sitting president, George H.W. Bush, and he railed against him that he didn't understand the middle class, he didn't understand workers, he didn't understand union men, he didn't understand, you know, the white ethnic class. And 3.5 million voters voted for Pat Buchanan in the 92 primary. Pat Buchanan got a primetime speaking role at the Republican National Convention, gave his, you know, his culture war speech, and said, we need to sit there and vote for George H.W. Bush. And his voters said, nah, I'm going to vote for Ross Perot instead, or Bill Clinton. And he was never able to unify the Republican Party, despite his endorsement, despite his primetime speaking role, despite everything that the Bush family gave in to Buchanan. So I think that we might be seeing a similar thing here. You know, 2, 3, 4, 5 million voters who are Bernie supporters in the primary who sit there and say, I'm sorry, I can't bring myself consciously, I don't care what Bernie or Elizabeth Warren or any of these people say, I can't bring myself to vote for this war hawk, Wall Street, Walmart, pro-fracking Hillary Clinton. I'm just going to not vote at all, or vote for Jill Stein of the Green Party, or vote for Donald Trump.
Ryan Gerdusky, who is senior contributor with Red Alert Politics, and the web is redalertpolitics.com. listening to Issues and Ideas. We'll also link to our website to this poll that we're referring to from The Economist and YouGov, because, like I said, it's one of the more detailed polls, although the numbers are certainly, risks like this are going to be fluid. But if you look at the head-to-head in that poll, Ryan, margin of error, we're talking a dead heat, at least at the starting block. And if you look at Trump's ability to, I mean, look on the right, on the GOP side, and not just the names, but the dynasties that Trump knocked off. And look at the red meat that Hillary, and obviously, and Trump's already tipped his hand on this, Bill is going to be part of the conversation too. Trump can, and the surrogates like the Roger Stones out there can do a pretty big beatdown, and Trump could be like the Godfather and keep his hands clean on all this.
You know, despite all of Trump's, all the people who sat there and say bad things about Donald Trump, and there's a lot of bad things to sit there and say, it is amazing that after everything that has gone through, from the McCain comments to the racism charges of the judge to everything, he is within a swing, he's within the margin of error of Hillary Clinton still, in almost every single poll across the board, in almost every single important swing state. Trump has the incredible ability to run news, to the news, to run the media, to create the conversation in his favor. His problem, Trump's unique problem, is I don't think he knows he's running for president of the United States, because he gets caught up in minor personal conflicts that, in the grand scheme of things, have nothing to do with being president, could lose him the presidency, in essence. This Trump University story that has killed him for 8 straight days, that ripped apart his party the minute after he got it together, he was obsessive-compulsive about defending this issue that 99.99% of Americans will not be affected by, that 75% of Americans don't care about, according to the YouGov poll, but he could not stop railing on it for 5 days, and it took 5 days of bad press and then 3 days of an attempted recovery. And meanwhile, that was right after Hillary Clinton's State Department said that she lied about the emails. Trump has the ability to win 110%. He has the ability for a landslide victory 110%. Will he do it? I haven't seen proof, and I've been a Trump supporter since day one. I haven't seen proof, and it's dangerously late at this time to show that he has the fortitude to sit there and change course and actually run a presidential campaign.
Well, that Trump University tirade sort of came to a, got hit by the fire extinguisher by Trump himself, actually. I think about a day after he hired one of the veteran political consultants, John McLaughlin.
Right.
And maybe that's, you know, Mitch McConnell, Trump isn't going to listen to that much, but someone like a McLaughlin, who certainly in New Jersey alone has been in some pretty decent political campaign battles, maybe that's someone who's going to listen to.
There is moments. I'm not a big fan of John McLaughlin personally, but I used to run campaigns. But that's besides the point. He's hired very smart people. He's done certain things that are extremely, extremely intelligent. And the Republican establishment has tried endlessly to undermine him, including Paul Ryan, who just yesterday completely undermined Trump's brilliant foreign policy speech with his own foreign policy speech. So, yeah, Trump is between a rock and a hard place. And, yes, his party and the establishment of his party are not supporting him. The people are. Nonetheless, when you are walking on a minefield, it's best not to start tap dancing.
Yeah, that's
true. And Trump
true.
Starts tap dancing on minefields a lot.
That's true. Let's wrap up by looking at the Hillary side, because when you look at, this is something someone said the other day for New York, for example, which Trump easily won with a large number of votes. Pretty much in states like New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, Virginia. Well, Virginia, Hillary blew with her coal miner comment. I think that's going to haunt her, and Virginia is out of the box for Democrats at this point. But New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio, if Trump can get the majority of GOP votes, peel off the Bernie 20%, and get 60% of independents, those are states he could flip, theoretically.
Yeah, Trump has the ability to switch Pennsylvania. I think Virginia actually is probably pretty much in the Democratic column at this point. But that's because Virginia's demographics have changed so rapidly. Trump's got the ability to win in states with large non-college educated white voters, Pennsylvania, Ohio, maybe in Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan. His main problem comes from the fact that he's alienating a lot of college educated white women, and that's an area that, you know, Romney won by 10 points. He has to focus on his message. He has to go back to the populism that made him the candidate. That Republicans cared about. And if he does that, he could change the gamut. I don't think that the Hispanic vote is going to be nearly as negative as what people thought it was going to be. I think he's going to improve greatly with the black vote. If he gets 10% of the black vote and their turnout declines by a million or two votes from the Obama election, that would be extremely significant. It's just a matter of staying on message. That is his problem. It's his fundamental flaw. If he stays on message, if he talks about keeping America first, putting American workers first, if he takes that populist workers mentality, he'll be the president of the United States. It's his campaign to sit there and lose, and he has sadly at times done an amazing job winning it, but at other times been his worst enemy.
Or as they say, you make the noise, you get the attention, then you start doing the details. It's time for the details now. Follow the campaign and the writings of some of the people who are in the know, like Ryan Gordusky. RedAlertPolitics.com is a place to do that. Ryan, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much.